Welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside ECAC Hockey. Inside ECAC Hockey, presented by the Corsia Family Foundation in conjunction with the Mike Capasso Scholarship Fund. And they're very pleased to have with us on the men's side, coming off a big weekend, no less, up in Hamilton, from the Colgate Raiders out of Calgary, Alberta, Alex Young. Alex, welcome to the show. Great to have you join us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, Alex, it's been a little bit of an up and down year for the Raiders, but certainly trending upward. We go right to the most recent results. Big weekend at home with Princeton and Quinnipiac, the visitors making the long journey south all the way up to Hamilton, and a very impressive weekend. Started out with a 5-0 victory against Princeton, and a game that big third period loomed large to get some separation, almost 2-1 shot advantage in that game. And then Quinnipiac, a team that was riding high all the way to the top of the polls, 3-2 decision over Quinnipiac, and now a 9-in-a-row streak at home for you and your Raider teammates there at Class of 65 Arena. As a veteran member of this team, Alex, and as a guy that's been around the ECAC, your thoughts as you look back on last weekend, are things just starting to fall into place? Are the lessons and the messages now being received on a higher level? Because that was certainly an impressive back-to-back body of work.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I think our team, like you mentioned, we've been up and down this season. We didn't start off that great, but we're doing really good, especially at home right now. And I think we're 7-1 in our last 8. Just guys have been playing really well individually, and then as a team, we've been practicing really hard. And we came off a little bit of a bye week the week before, so we got some rest and just got to practice a bunch. And everyone's been buying into the system, and they've been just playing really well. And I'm just proud of our team for the weekend and the success we've been having lately.
No doubt. And with you, and as far as your personal success, it heartens me as someone who's followed college hockey for as long as I have, just to see guys that are invested, to see guys that are in a program over a course of 3, and you hope for 4 years as it goes, but to see guys that are improving, and you're a guy, I think, that falls into that category. Currently, if people haven't paid attention to what Alex Young's been doing at Colgate, you're averaging better than a point a game. You've loomed very large on the power play with 8 of your 13 goals on the power play. Before we talk about a couple of other elements of the game, let's talk about that power play, your importance, your role, and the fact that you've been performing that role at such a high level as a key guy, as the marksman, as the trigger guy in that power play.
Our power play, it's having a lot of success, and we've kind of had the same personnel on the one unit throughout the whole season, and a lot of those guys played on the power play last season as well. And for my role personally, I'm always on one of the flanks, so either one timer or strong side shooting. So just there to control the puck, hit one timer, shoot pucks. Basically, it's like 8 goals on the power play so far this year. Just really put the puck on net and shoot as much as I can.
Worked out well for you, and progress has been made. And once again, kind of on a steady climb for you. You put up some very good numbers last year. Led the team in assists last year. Had 31 points. You've been playing on the right side, but it seems like sometimes guys, they have a little bit more as a pass mentality, or they don't let the pass out of the game. Guys that are effective as scorers. But it is indicative of your production and the number of assists that you've been able to rack up. You're a guy I think that line mates like to play with. You're a guy that's looking and looking for the better opportunity and being able to distribute, indicative of leading the team in the helpers last year.
Yeah, I hope my line mates like to play with me. But
I hope so. Yeah.
It's just, I think it's kind of my game. I like to say I'm a patient player and always looking for. Mm-hmm. The next opportunity to distribute the puck, not afraid to shoot and be a little selfish at times, but just finding an open guy and maybe passing it, under a stick through the defender's legs, anything to get it to the open man.
hit 65 shots on net, and 108 last year that put you up among the leaders. And as far as your club and the line mates, you've been playing on the right side, and you've got Simon LaBelle playing on the left side, and he's also got his junior hockey roots are out to out west. He played in the BCHL. You played in the AJHL, and there's a guy that's is he any relation? The guy with the same last name in the middle. I know he is, Colton Young. What's it like to be, to have that opportunity to be playing with your brother all the way to the Division I college level? I mean, you know, sometimes that ends in the driveway or at the local rink as a peewee, but that's got to be really special for you and your family to not only to be on the same team, but the fact that you and your brother Colton, right now, you guys currently are playing on the same line.
Yeah, it's just awesome, like great experience to play with my brother and to play with him all the way up until the college level. I mean, we never got to play with each other in minor hockey because he is 2.5 years older. So the age gap in minor hockey is always 2 years difference. But we got two years together as well in junior in the AJHL. And then we were lucky enough to both commit to Colgate. So then he came. Oh, sorry, my lights are turning off here. So we committed to Colgate together, and he came 1 year earlier than I, and then I joined him again the next season. But it's really awesome to have, you know, a family member here, and it's special for my parents as well. They are really excited. They get to watch us play together and come down and visit, and they get to see us every now and then, and just to be able to, you know, talk with him and have that kind of connection and not feel so far away from home, and then also to play with him on the same line. Just he's a great player, and we really have a connection on the ice as well, so it's great to have him here.
No doubt. And your hometown of Calgary, you played in Canmore in the Alberta Junior Hockey League, so stayed pretty close to home there. That opportunity, a lot of times guys, they travel couple of time zones away in order to be able to play junior hockey. The numbers you put up, my goodness, went back and took a look at your junior career, 192 games, including playoffs, 95 goals, 127 assists, 222 points. You had the letter on the sweater, was MVP of your team, etc., and put a very impressive resume together in junior hockey. As far as the recruiting process and the opportunity to come to Colgate, what did that entail? And what about the decision that you made to come really all the way across the continent to come to Hamilton, New York?
Yeah, so as far as recruiting, I think Dana Borges, who's our assistant coach this season, or actually associate head coach, he was one of the main factors, and he visited me and my brother playing in Canmore, and he came to watch us and got us for a fly down visit, and once we came down and visited, he toured us around the school, showed us all the facilities, the brand new rink, dressing room, all the current players, the coaches, other faculty, and we were kind of amazed just at the way the town, it's a small village, so it's a little tight-knit community, and then the university campus is beautiful. And then I think just the academics along with the really good hockey program is something that we were really drawn to, and just combining those two, like you're never going to find that in many other places. So I think that we really lucked out and got the best of both sides of the coin with hockey and academics, and that's why we decided to come to Colgate.
Oh, no doubt. And you've excelled there, not just on the ice, but in the classroom, as you point out, a significant part of your decision. And the all-academic status that you've attained, hopefully you're going to be able to keep that up. And overall, I know some comments from as far as you as a player with Coach Vaughn, quoted as talking about your offensive instincts being exceptional, describes you as a playmaker that plays with patience, as you talked about, and poise on the ice. An area of your game that you're looking to improve to be able to, obviously, not just to Colgate, but be able to continue, is Coach Vaughn, is to be able to improve defensively. And I guess the key word is, the buzzword for coaches is detailed, to be more detailed. Do you feel that over the course of your career now, the fact that you've been invested in this program and in Coach Vaughn's system, that you feel that you're just that much more confident on the defensive side of the game, Alex?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, every time you bump up a level in hockey, it always gets faster and, you know, guys are smarter, stronger. So it takes a lot of time to adjust. And being in my third season, just being able to kind of have more of an awareness and like defense is something that everyone has to get better at. And if for anyone that wants to play at a higher league, it just gets harder and harder to defend more skilled players. So just being, you know, understanding the game a bit more and absorbing any knowledge that the coaches can throw at me, and just from that extra experience of playing more games in the NCAA, being able to know where I am on the ice and what position I'm in, and understanding, you know, where I'm supposed to put my stick at certain scenarios. I definitely feel I'm more confident, and the coaches have, you know, trusted me a bit more and put me out in more defensive situations as well.
No doubt. And once again, the team is hopefully, as you point out, with been some ups and downs, definitely on the upswing right now. You've got the Raiders now over 500 overall, 12-10-2, and outstanding at 9-3. Put yourselves in a very strong position in the league. Hopefully being able to get in that home ice position for the tournament. As far as, got to mention that about the building. I was up there, I think it was the second week that building opened. I was up there with Boston University. As I recall, Colgate opened with Army. This was back in 2015, and played there the week after. And was really impressed with the building and visiting with Coach Vaughn up there. But that has really been a great home ice advantage. And you mentioned about the family atmosphere of Colgate and really the community warming up. When you're on a roll, it's got to be a pretty good atmosphere right now with 9 in a row at home. People, you know, not only they go to the game, but they're expecting, it's great when they go and they expect good things to happen there. That only really kind of enhances it.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's nice when you see, you know, people, students around campus, especially after this weekend taking down Quinnipiac, just people, you know, congratulating you and saying like, oh, like congrats on the big win. And then, you know, the community support and, you know, really great turnouts for the games the last couple of weeks. And people have been coming to support us. So it's been awesome.
And the Quinnipiac, a real test with Quinnipiac, a team that's been really a perennial contender now for a number of years with Coach Pecknold in that program. And not without adversity there in your last outing, falling behind 2-0. Resiliency says a lot about the leadership and the veterans on your team. You got an assist each night. You had one in a 5-on-3 goal in the game against Quinnipiac. But the mood there, I guess, was one that you guys were pretty much unwavering to get behind 2-0 against a formidable opponent and come and get 3 unanswered and come away with the win.
Yeah, I mean, we played really strong against Quinnipiac our first time against them this season, and we lost to them 3-2, and penalties were a huge factor in that game. So we know that we could play against them, and we matched up good against them. And just when we started against them in the game last weekend, they got up 2 goals early, and we know that they're a team that can kind of run away with it when they get going. So just our attitude on the bench and in the dressing room between periods, we weren't ready to give up. We knew we could push back, and you know, the kind of success we had been having before, we knew that we had the tools to do that. And so we just went out there and you know, threw everything back at them. And, you know, we were playing really well. We hit 4 posts in the first period. So we knew the game could go either way. So, yeah, we were just, you know, really resilient, and that's why we came out on top.
Oh, no doubt about that. And, also got to mention, Alex, just a couple of other notes here. One is drafted by the San Jose Sharks, and that was after putting up really one of the best 2-year totals in the history of the Alberta Junior Hockey League. I mentioned those numbers earlier. They're just really impressive, gaudy numbers that you put up, prolific offensive numbers. Your contact with San Jose, I happen to know the head coach there and the general manager pretty well. I'll put it a good word for you with those guys. I've known them for about 30 years each with Mike Greer and David Quinn. But have you had a chance to get some exposure to the Sharks with their development program over the last couple of years in the offseason?
Yeah, so I've been to 2 development camps. It would have been 3 if it had not been for COVID.
With COVID, yep.
Yes. And then just constant contact with them, whether it's over the phone or, you know, looking at clips. And yeah, they've been great. And just they've been really good for my development and showing me, you know, things to work on and different skills. And then they've also been, you know, telling me to get better on defense. So, yeah, it's been awesome. And, you know, getting exposure with them is really important. And just hoping that anything I can do to make the next step into hopefully playing for them anytime soon is something that I'm looking to do.
Oh, no doubt. Wish you the best of luck. Once again, I'll do whatever I can to help you out.
Thank you.
Exactly. And well, bring us right back full circle to in the moment and now and what you have coming up this week. And road trip beckoning. You'll be headed down. You'll be making a trip down to Boston and Hanover. First up will be the Harvard Crimson. You get Harvard and then up to Hanover to play in one of my favorite bands in college hockey up there at Thompson Arena. First up, though, with the Crimson and a team with Harvard that is obviously they've got a tremendous amount of talent on that Harvard team. And as you look at the standings right now, a team that you're well within striking distance of and you have a couple of games in hand on. So there's some big points on the line with Harvard, not to say not with Dartmouth, but you're going to be starting out the weekend with Harvard. That should be a real battle on Friday down at the Bright Center.
Yeah, and we know there's some major points on the line, and they're only a couple points above us in the standings. And they're going to be hungry after, especially after we beat them before Christmas break. And so we'll be going in there heavy, and just we'll be looking ahead, and we've already got that game circled on the calendar, so we're ready to go into them.
That's right. You guys had the better of Harvard there with a 6-4 victory. Back in early December when you really started off and running. And once again, you had a big role in that one. And 2-for-4 on the power play, of which you were the 2-for-4 on the power play. You had 2 power play goals in that game and added one for the hat trick later on. Big offensive game. So I'm sure you're looking forward to facing the Crimson. And well, Alex, thanks very much. Really appreciate you taking the time to join us this week as our profile on Inside ECAC Hockey. And best to you and Coach Vaughn as you move forward this weekend.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me.
Welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside ECAC Hockey. Inside ECAC Hockey presented by the Corsia Family Foundation in conjunction with the Mike Capasso Scholarship Fund. And very pleased to have with us this week from the Big Red of Cornell, senior forward Izzy Daniel. Izzy, welcome to the show, and great to have you come in and talk some hockey with us today.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Izzy, the Big Red of Cornell, you're, as all the teams in the ECAC, you're navigating through a very difficult and very challenging ECAC women's field this year. As a veteran member of the team, just some of your thoughts about just how tough this league is, night in and night out, weekend in and weekend out.
Yeah, I think it's great for the game, obviously the women's game too. You can't take a night off in this league, which I think is awesome. You obviously want to be competing day in and day out. And with the teams we have in this league, like I said, you can't take a night off. You got to be on top of your game because anyone can beat anyone any given night, which is an awesome thing for the game.
And when you look back to your recruiting and the decision to come to Cornell, I guess this is probably something that you had in mind, not too much of a surprise, knowing just how much of a challenge it was going to be and how competitive it was going to be coming to the Cornell program and facing this type of competition.
Yeah, I think that's something I thought about during the recruiting process. Obviously, I wanted to be on a competitive team, and Cornell has a great tradition of hockey and excelling at that. So I definitely thought about that. And honestly, the ECAC has surprised me in a way where I didn't think it would be this competitive. And it's awesome. I've loved seeing the conference grow here even the last 5 years. I think teams are really starting to come on, and the whole league as a whole, all 12 teams are competitive. Like I said earlier, you have to bring your A game every night because you never know. There's going to be upsets. There's going to be teams beating teams, and there's not really surprises anymore when you look at the scoreboard. You know, you're not really surprised by any of the scores.
I got to ask also, when someone comes from a hockey crazed area such as you from the Twin Cities, I've been out there a number of times on hockey business over the years, and always never ceases to amaze me just the level of enthusiasm. And I was pleased to see, I've talked to a number of Mr. Hockeys and Mr. Hockey finalists, but there is Ms. Hockey, and you were a finalist for Ms. Hockey back in 2019. Quite an honor.
Yeah. It was an honor. Obviously, that's a prestigious award back home. Everyone talks about it. And like you said, there's Mr. and Miss Hockey, which is cool. And I feel like it's treated pretty equally down there. And it is a cool thing to be a part of. There's obviously a really cool banquet that y'all get to go to. Men and women have one. So it's a cool honor. And yeah, it's a cool tradition.
And a great tradition of your program there that you played for, the Blake School. I've been a longtime broadcaster for Boston University. We had a goalie who ended up in the Boston University Hall of Fame, was an All-American Hobie Baker finalist, John Curry, that came from the Blake School. So I've got some familiarity there. And just great success for you. Two-time state champion. You were team MVP twice. It was a three-time All-Star. And just, I got to ask, though, coming out of the Twin Cities, was it difficult to get you out of the Twin Cities to come to Cornell? Were you always kind of had being a lady gopher in mind, or having that opportunity to stay close to home?
Honestly, I was one of the few who didn't. I wanted to get out. That was always something
okay.
that I told myself. I wanted to leave Minnesota. I'd been there all my life, and I wanted to experience something new, and I found myself out in Ithaca, New York.
Yeah, well, there you go. Okay, you wanted to take a different path, and so you did, coming to Cornell and having the opportunity to have the experience that you've enjoyed. And also, truth be told, you've got a very close friend on the team that you go back a long way in hockey, long before Cornell.
Yep. Yeah, Lily Delianidis and I, we've played together for 7 or 8 years now. We both made the varsity team the same year. I was a freshman in high school. Lily was in eighth grade. And we got sat next to each other in the locker room. We kind of were forced to be friends at the beginning. And then obviously it blossomed into something else. And we were line mates all 4 years. And then obviously coming to Cornell, I came a year earlier. And then she followed a year later. And now we're roommates too. She lives right next to me. So she's just following me around. I like to tell her, but it's been, she's my best friend, and we've got a great relationship off the ice as well. And I think that helps our on ice chemistry.
Yeah, that's amazing. You just happen to sit next to somebody in the locker room one day, and all of a sudden you blink your eyes and it's 8 years later and they're still sitting next to you.
Yep. Yep.
Pretty amazing. You're enjoying great success this season, and really just wielding the hot stick right now with your current offensive performance. You've been forward of the week three times so far, including this week. And I guess indicative of what we just talked about a few minutes ago, just how difficult it is to navigate the waters of this league this season. Colgate, another formidable team, top team. You had a difficult night with the team against Colgate. You still had 3 points in that game and a loss, but really, just to give us some insight, resiliency, your team really coming to the forefront to turn around and come up with a big bounce back win and get a split for the weekend.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously it's never fun when you get blown out, but I think something we thought about was a loss is a loss right now. No matter if you lose 9-3 like we did, or it's 1-0 in overtime, you know, they all count the same. So I think it was just put that one in the rearview mirror and focus on the next game. And we had the same opponent. So we were really focused. And obviously we came out as a completely different team the next day, which was really exciting to see. And I was proud of our team to fight back the next day and obviously get a win.
And come back and put yourself back on solid ground with the win and the split and points for the weekend. Your career, and I guess I'll stop asking this question in a couple of years when everybody is kind of through the college process that was around during the COVID pandemic. But you were the Ivy League Rookie of the Year in 1920. That season ended abruptly, was not able to come back with the Ivy League's taking the medical leave the following year. And I'm always curious to know, with Ivy League athletes, what was that year like for you? How did you train? How did you stay in shape? And what did you do to kind of address some of the unique challenges that you had that year?
Yeah, obviously The 1920 was a really special year for our program too, and it was sad the way it ended for us. Mm-hmm. We never got an opportunity to prove to ourselves what we thought we had in the room. And then obviously the next year the Ivy Leagues didn't play, but I think for myself it was kind of a great opportunity to better myself as an individual player. I came here in the fall, and then I took a leave of absence in the spring, so I was back home in Minnesota, and I really took that time to get in the gym and work on my physical strength and speed. And so that was good 9 months straight of just focusing on myself and my own skills. And I think it was really beneficial for me that year off. Unexpected, obviously, would have loved to be competing, but I think overall it really helped my game grow and take a really big step forward after that year.
You mentioned about where the Cornell program was at, and I'm just amazed when I look back as to where hockey was in Ithaca, a hockey hotbed, where the two residents of Lionel Rink on the men's and women's side, both really on the cusp of something special when the season ended. I just had visions of the two of you maybe taking out all your aggressions and scrimmaging against each other.
Yeah, we did both have a little ceremonial practice once we knew our season's end, which was kind of...
Oh, you did? Okay.
But, yeah, we were both obviously, you know, Cornell hockey was at its peak there, and there was a buzz around Ithaca, and obviously Ithaca people and the fans of Cornell hockey are so passionate. So it was just an exciting time to be a part of the program for sure.
Hey, you mentioned about the passion up there, and once again, whenever I've talked to anybody that skated for the Big Red, the whole experience, Lionel Rink, it is pretty unique the way that you're embraced by just the students and the town and the community and everything. That's got to be really special for you every time you've stepped on the ice during your career.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's something unique to Cornell, or so I think, is the fan support we have from the community as well as the students. Obviously, our men's team sells out every night, and we're trying to get, you know, more students in the rink, but for women's hockey, you know, we get a good crowd, and it's really exciting. The pep band, everyone loves the pep band. They give us some energy, so everyone's really excited to play at home, and we definitely feed off the energy from fans inside Lina and the band.
Whatever you did in terms of the off ice, and you mentioned about the conditioning and being able to work on strength and development of your game, it certainly paid off last year. You were among scoring leaders. You had more than a point a game with 34 points. And what you're doing this year, the building process, is it, I'm not going to, I don't know if easy is the right word, but just the preparation, what you've learned over the course of your career, it seems like the way you've come in this year and just hit your stride to kind of, you know, just really kind of take it to another level so far, and hopefully you can continue.
Yeah, I think obviously I'm just trying to get better year after year. And have an upward trajectory in my development. And I think, you know, just my freshman year until now, I think a big thing has been just confidence. You know, I'm feeling good about my play and our team's play. And I think, you know, confidence in hockey is a tricky thing. You know, it can be lost very quickly and hard to gain back. But I think just that mindset and playing with confidence is huge for my game too. And has really helped me excel this year.
You play on the right side, and what about your current line mates? I think you're working with a couple of women from Ontario right now on the line with you.
I mostly play with Gillis Frechette, and Lily's at center. She's been injured though, so we've been with Gabby Rude, okay, a few Minnesotan as well.
And pretty good as far as the way that you've been clicking and the elusive chemistry in terms of having a good comfort level.
Yeah. Gillis and I, us three with Lily, have played together now for 2 years, and obviously had that connection with Lily before, so that was helpful. And then Gillis on the left side, we read off each other really well, and we execute our systems really well too. So we all know where we're going to be on the ice without even looking. So we can, we trust each other. And I think trust is a big thing when you're playing with people. You got to be able to trust. They're going to be in the right spot and vice versa. So I think that's why we've had success.
And in the classroom, I took a look at some of the things that you're involved with there, and agriculture and life sciences concentration. But there was a real strong reference to HR tactics, human resource tactics. And I saw a number of looks that you had were familiar to me, the NFL and the NHL, NFL draft and so forth. Just give us some insight about some of the work that you've done. I mean, the work that I'd be interested in is being as rabid and immersed a sports fan as I am, in terms of something that is really one of the growing areas that I've noticed over the last decade in particular is analytics and statistical analysis and how that's applied to sports.
Yeah, so I originally came into Cornell as, like you said, an agriculture and life sciences. I was in that school, and then I actually internally transferred to the School of Industrial and Labor Relations, so that's my current major. And yeah, I'm really interested in working in sports, especially hockey. So I've had an opportunity to go to the NHL draft combine last June in Buffalo, and just meet some people down there, talk to them about, you know, their job as scouts, GMs, whatever it may be. And then also football. I went to Frisco, Texas during the COVID year for the East-West Shrine Game, they help with the assessment and selection of draft eligible players in all the major leagues. So it's cool. I'm honestly kind of more interested in less on the analytics side. I'm not the best with numbers, and more on the player personnel and building the team. So hockey operations, stuff like that, really interests me, scouting. So
more opportunities are opening for women, and women have become more prominent. And I wish you luck there to be able to pursue your passion there beyond hockey, and to maybe end up in an NHL front office, Izzy. Who knows, right?
Yeah, thank you.
Yep, absolutely. Next up for you, you've got the challenge continues with ECAC play, and you'll get visits this weekend. Harvard first up, and then Dartmouth. Your thoughts getting ready for the Crimson and the Big Green?
Yeah, I think this is obviously a huge weekend for us, given the standings, especially Ivy League implications for us, and then also how we performed against these two teams earlier in the year when we took the trip to Boston. We didn't play well. We weren't happy with how we played. So I think the team is really hungry to get back on track here, and especially build off the momentum we generated from Saturday's game, bring that into the weekend, and hopefully play our style of hockey and compete and play tough, and hopefully we'll get some good results out of it.
Well, best of luck coming forward this weekend back at Lionel Rink and beyond this season, Izzy. Thanks very much for joining us here this week.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Izzy Daniel, our guest, senior for the Cornell Big Red out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Our women's hockey profile this week on Inside ECAC Hockey. Inside ECAC Hockey, presented by the Corsia Family Foundation in conjunction with the Mike Capasso Scholarship Fund.